Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
On EEI.
Fitzpatrick down the sideline, has a man open, and he's got him. Devontae Parker with the catch.
Devontae Parker against Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore gets caught cheating into the backfield. He's peeking into the backfield. The inside receiver has an out route. Gilmore is peeking to see if that's where he's going to jump, and Parker is able to get down the sideline and just get behind him.
Fitzpatrick, that pass is complete across the 25 to Devontae Parker.
It's been a good battle all day, as we see four catches, 77 yards, leaning in Parker's favor at this point in time.
Hour number two, Gresh and Keefe. Gresh is off today and all week long. Nick Fitzy-Stevens in the house. And now that was some of the lowlights there. Stephon Gilmore a couple years ago against Miami. Not his best game.
One of the most difficult watches. I would say top five if we're into power rankings.
We are.
Or Rushmore plus one.
Of course we are.
As we're wont to often do here on this program in general in life. I would say top five regular season defeats.
Yeah, that was definitely...
That was awful. I knew it was over. I knew they were playing the Titans. I knew they were going to lose. Mm-hmm. That, like you said, cooked, goosed, porked stuff.
All of it.
The whole thing. Straight to Rich's pork house
that
one.
What, are you supposed to stop Ryan Fitzpatrick on a game-winning drive?
73 yards with 3 minutes left.
How are you supposed to do that?
I mean, that legendary Fitzpatrick to Gesicki combination.
Yeah.
That was the end of Patrick Chung's time.
Yep.
Because he got toasted on that play.
Right.
Brutal. I would put it right next to their 2015 end-of-season, regular season loss to Miami.
That was
the feed Steven Jackson the ball.
Great game plan. Yeah, great game plan. Ugh. What do you need home field for? It's not going to come back to bite you later on.
So, curiously, as Gilmore wins Defensive Player of the Year in the middle of that contract and had played lights out, as we talked before about the whole like front-loaded, terrible teams in the opening half of the 2019 boogeyman season, a.k.a. Brady's final season with the Patriots, then they play some real lumber. Gilmore doesn't play quite as well, but he played so well, the numbers were up there. He gets DPOY.
Yeah.
But could anyone ever figure out why he just got cooked in that game?
Got pantsed by Parker, who's good, but he's not, but Gilmore did a better job against better receivers during the year.
Correct. And like DeAndre Hopkins really didn't light him up when they lost to the Texans on Sunday night.
Was it Keenan Allen who we clamped down last year?
He runs his routes for him. Now, I remember John Brown shook him off for a bomb against Buffalo the week before.
Yeah.
Which they tried to say, like, oh, McCourty should have had that one. Like, no, Gilmore got beat.
Yeah, last year wasn't a great year for Gilmore. And obviously missed time due to COVID, then due to injury.
Rough start.
Yeah.
Then he rough
got
start,
better.
Did.
Yeah.
I remember you and I got all over him when he got beat by Aguilar in week three.
Mm-hmm.
Then in week four, he finally started getting healthy. Had a great game against Kansas City. Pretty much took either Tyreek Hill or Kelce or whoever the hell he was on all night. Then he gets COVID, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So a very up and down season, tears the quad. And now he wants his money or more money.
So the report yesterday was that they're not closer. But then there was an NFL Network report saying that Gilmore would take just a bump this year. Because that was the thing, is it was hard to take sides in it when you didn't know what exactly was being asked. So if Gilmore wanted a Darius Slay contract now, then suddenly I'm on the team side. But if he just wants a bump for this year to be paid more like top corners, then I'm very much on his side. That's the way the NFL works. I know there's a lot of people that'll call in and say, well, you sign a contract and that's your contract. It's like, not in football. The team doesn't adhere to that. You know, ask Danny Amendola if the team likes the contract that they signed. They don't. Other sports, sure. Other sports you can have that claim. But right now, he's only going to make $7 million. Jalen Ramsey makes 20, but he's also in his prime, and he's the best.
Yes, he is. Inarguably.
I would give him, I would double it. If he wants to make $14 million this year, they have the cap space. They can do void year. They can do whatever the hell they want. They can dress it up any way they want. I'd give him $14 million and get him back on the field.
And here's the leverage that Gilmore has outside of, or the negotiating tactic that he can play. If Belichick says, well, you know, we gave you money last year, so we borrowed from 2021, gave it to you last year. Gilmore can say, yeah, because you realize by the time I won Defensive Player of the Year and you need me in the post-Tom Brady era when you were going to rely and lean on your defense, mm-hmm. you really needed me. Now, I didn't have my greatest year and I got hurt, but I gave it my best. Now you really need me because I got to hold up the back end of a team that's probably also going to run the football and try to win by defense.
Right.
So you paid me once, pay me again. Now I'm not asking for the moon, but if Gilmore's willing to take a little double down, $14-15 million, and then walk into free agency next year, I'd rather they work out a deal. I'd like to see him around for one or two more years.
You would?
I would.
I don't know how much longer he's going to be great for.
Okay, but are you then going to pay J.C. Jackson, or are you going to let two starting corners walk in the same offseason?
If J.C. Jackson has a great year this year, I think you have to pay him.
And is he going to be a one? Do you think he's good enough to be a one, or is he a great two that benefits from having a one?
How many true number one cornerbacks are even in the league? It's not that many.
Seven.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's eight, maybe. Seven or eight, because we were looking at the rank, like ESPN did all their position rankings, and J.C. Jackson was 10th.
Right.
But I don't view him as a true number one. But then again, who is?
Did he benefit like the way A.J. Bouye did being opposite Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville? It was like, this guy's numbers are off the charts. Houston pays him a bag. It's like, this guy's not a number one cornerback.
he might have. And I also think you can do the, hey, Gilmore, you have this one guy. Jackson, you have this guy, but don't worry, there's help. Like, you can always do that with Jackson. So if he's kind of bumped up to be your number one guy, I don't know if he's shutting anybody down. But it's hard with the rules today for anybody to shut anybody down. But, yeah, I don't think you can let them both go. But at least Jackson, to me, I think will be hitting his prime.
Right.
You can't find cornerbacks who are great in their 30s.
No.
You just can't.
The handful of them that exist. Charles Woodson transitioned to safety. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
Charles and Rod Woodson, I think, both went to safety.
Yep. Around 32, 33.
Did Deion go to safety?
Yeah.
And then he was out of the league.
He retired at 33. And he was pretty great all the way up till 32,
season. But Revis and Ty Law, two of the greatest who ever played.
Revis was cooked.
Dude, yeah, he was.
You know Revis was cooked by the time he finished with the Patriots. They were load managing his minutes way back in 2014.
Right. And then he got all that money from the Jets, and he was already done.
And he was toast by that point.
But how old was he?
At that point, he was only like 31.
Yeah.
There are not that many Darrell Greens.
His last year with the Patriots was his 29th season for Darrell mm-hmm. Revis. So his Hall of Fame career was in his 20s.
Yes.
So that's why I don't want to give Gilmore an extension.
But Champ Bailey was good into his 30s.
Oh, was
like,
he?
Good enough.
All right.
Good enough to pay. Deion Sanders, like I said, retired at 33. Now, he had the kind of speed that changed games and athleticism that you don't see because he was a great two-sport athlete.
Good point. Champ Bailey's probably the guy to point to if you're Gilmore.
Didn't have that same kind of speed later. Still a good cover and
did some safety work.
Like and Charles kind of Woodson as well. Like, if you think you can get that out of Stephon Gilmore, I don't think he's a good fundamental tackler. He's not particularly strong like Devin McCourty is a bigger, stronger guy.
Yeah.
But if you need somebody that you know you're not going to lose a guy on, I think it's worth paying him this year. Yeah. Like you said, fudge the numbers.
They can do that. Your cap guy can figure out.
What if you end up overpaying? Yeah. Your cap guy, your best buddy, Matt Patricia.
No, not. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Matt Patricia.
Yeah. Matt Patricia.
Yeah, yeah. The internet cap guy.
Pencil-wearing, bearded rocket surgeon. Yeah, he'll figure it out.
I mean, that's why you brought him back.
You pay him next year. And if you end up overpaying him for 2022, on some sort of, finessed up 2-3 year deal. And then now you really see that he's hit the wall. Cut him. So what? You overpay him at that point?
Yeah.
Fine. Because you needed him for those 2 years.
And you need him for this year. And he, I believe, has leverage only because they didn't trade him. There's two opportunities to trade him, right? Last deadline and then this offseason at the draft. Didn't trade him. You kept him. You didn't draft a corner in the first couple of rounds. Mm-mm. So you could have done that. That would have been a little bit more hot seat for him. And they loaded up on defense. Like, they spent so much money on defense to then let your best player go. So he has all that going for him. And the other thing is, nothing has happened yet. Although I saw somebody took a picture of Bill Belichick, apparently, was with Linda on, like, a boat.
Oh.
And she had a comment that said something like, last dinner or something before football. So maybe. That means Bill's getting back into the office starting today, and that's when a deal could get
crunch
done
some numbers
at some point.
You all think right. So? Okay, I'd pay them in.
I would sort of. Like, I would for the year. I wouldn't any further than that. Normally, on Tuesdays at this time, we talk with Tom E. Curran, and he is brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tom, like Gresh, on vacation this week, mm-hmm. So he will be back next Tuesday at this time, but we're still talking football here with you. You can join us 617-779-7937, but again, you have the quarterback situation and then the cornerback situation. Those really are the two biggest storylines for the Patriots, or I mean, maybe even around the league. I think you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Deshaun Watson, but these two for the Patriots are as big as anything.
Where would you put their wide receiver situation? Like, still high, like, if we're going to give it, like, priority, like, yeah. Red is high priority.
Right.
Maybe that yellow for, like, medium sort of
it definitely,
emerging priority.
Like, it's passable. Like, I feel like you look at their receivers and it's passable. I don't see, like, a major move happening or anything like that.
No. They had their chance and they didn't make it, and I wish they did.
No, and they spent so much money on Aguilar that they obviously like him very much.
That
was aggressive.
Very.
Very
aggressive.
Fans are going to turn on him the quickest.
And that sucks for him.
It's what's going to happen.
He
has the chance to be year two Brandon LaFell.
Wow.
Remember him?
Oh,
remember
2015 Brandon LaFell.
Year one Brandon LaFell, pretty good. Year two?
Year one JoJo scored in the Super Bowl,
yep.
Caught one of Tom Brady's arguably 10 best passes he ever threw in the division round, the game winner against the Ravens in that epic clash, the one that featured the option pass from mm-hmm. Edelman to Amendola. Year two, JoJo LaFell, banged up, case of the dropsies.
Couldn't catch a thing.
When he was like, if he was the dinner and like you just got a little Scott Chandler sauce on top, the receiving core in 2015 was
poor.
Rough shakes.
Yeah, it was poor.
Rough.
No, I love the tight ends though, so that's the only reason I'm not freaking out about the receivers. Like, they have actually pass options this year. And hopefully, you know, Damian Harris can also catch a pass. Like, it doesn't just have to be James White out of the backfield.
Right. Now, we've long gone past on the idea that Sony Michel will ever be the receiving threat that he was at Georgia.
Which is so weird to
me.
That is one of the mysteries of the last few years, is that here was a guy that, out of college, you're like, oh, he actually does both better than Nick Chubb does. And then you get to the pros, and Sony Michel looks like it's the first time he's ever seen a football in the air.
And Nick Chubb.
He's like clapping at it.
Right.
Like, what the hell?
Wait, but there are all these YouTube reels of you with these soft hands catching passes out of the
backfield.
Making
moves.
He averaged 9.1 yards per touch in college.
I don't know
no
what the hell
happened
why
they
guy.
Went for him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he becomes like a slower, bulked up version of himself with Daniel Graham's hands.
Yeah.
And Nick Chubb turns into an absolute, like, Peyton Hillis.
A variant.
He's
a Sony Michel variant.
He's a
little Loki callback there.
Yeah, wow.
That's what he is.
Hashtag dork for the win. Good job on you.
Uh-huh. Episode up now.
So, I'd put the receivers there mostly because I do trust in Jacoby Myers.
What'd you think of my tweet, by the way, yesterday? We talked about some of the fallout. So I had a tweet about the Patriots depth chart,
mm-hmm.
and I left wide receiver one and wide receiver two empty.
Thought you were looking for what you got.
People were fired up about it.
I call that chum in the waters.
I just wanted to see if people were still following me on the internet.
They were. Oddly enough, hey, Shime, what does this mean when you see the word ratio showing up oftentimes in the thread
not
of a,
true,
a tweet?
Not true. There are still more likes than comments, so that's not ratio.
Ratio means when your comment on somebody's tweet gets more interaction than the tweet itself.
Ah, okay.
That's ratioed?
Yes.
I thought ratioed meant there's more.
That's not what that is.
No, Shime's wrong.
Shime's very wrong.
So, John, isn't it when there's more comments than there are likes and
correct.
Retweets?
Yeah, that's okay. What it is.
So I actually didn't get ratioed. I just happened to get a lot of engagement. One guy even wrote, I don't even want to give you the engagement. He used the word engagement. I'm like, what are you, sir?
So you went WR1, WR2. You left
both
those empty.
Empty.
And then three you had.
Aguilar Myers.
See, to me.
You love Myers.
I do.
You love Myers.
I do. If anything, I think.
Hey, Keith, you forgot about Myers' second half numbers, you moron.
I'm like, all right. Well,
nine games, 59 catches, or 11
That's
games
on pace to be a Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Like, all right.
Well, first of all, I can't believe somebody from the 1930s is shouting at
they
you.
They love the only ones who love Jacoby Myers, apparently.
He's a regular throwback, I tell you.
Love this player. He's a great player.
Jacoby Myers, I'm not here for any slander.
Wide receiver three is not slender. That's a nice NFL job.
He's a good,
nice player.
If Robert Woods is super expensive and overpriced,
now he's Robert Woods.
Can I finish? Yes. If Robert Woods is the super expensive, like, showroom floor version, there is a really nice, affordable, you know, certified used car version of Robert Woods available, and that's Jacoby Myers.
Can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
Okay. No, I like Myers, and we'll see. Now, I also will fully admit that if it's Cam Newton all year, that is going to drastically affect how good he is. Kendrick Bourne kind of slid in here during the big curious one. Yeah, right? This free agency bonanza, and everyone's loving everything just because it was so uncharacteristic. And then you're like, Kendrick Bourne? Like, what are they counting on him to be?
Can I admit that when I heard the Patriots were close to signing a wide receiver, and it was, I think he was signed first, then Aguilar came. Bourne was, I believe, the first wide receiver signed. First player overall was Jonnu Smith, but then I think Bourne was probably around the fourth or fifth person they signed during the extravaganza.
Like Aguilar.
Right.
So when I heard Patriots have signed wide receiver, and then they said Kendrick Bourne out of San Francisco, I was like, who's that? I had never heard of him before. And
now you have his jersey.
Yes. Now I am as tatted up. I call Jared Stidham Steinem.
Jared Steinem.
I call him
Steiny. Steinem.
Spinning it like Steiny.
Oh, God.
Jared Steinem.
Did they sign him because of his high percentage of catches that he turns in? He converts a very high percentage of catches into either first downs or touchdowns. Or is it like he's an emerging talent? Do they see him as somebody Welker adjacent? Like, ooh, we got to get in on the ground floor of this guy. He's going to become something. Or is it just because he's another one of these, like, high character energy guys?
I really don't know. If he was in the AFC East and put up the same numbers, I would have said, Belichick saw something there. He saw something. And I know they played the Niners this year.
But he keeps an eye on guys thanks to Jimmy.
Maybe Jimmy talked him up.
Oh.
Maybe Jimmy
liked
him.
He was his favorite target.
Or maybe he was hoping to get Jimmy.
That's why he signed him.
Yep.
Great.
Now just like when he signed Damir Bird to play with Cam Newton.
That would be like breaking up with your ex, and you knew your ex always wanted a dog, getting a dog, and your ex comes over, you made dinner, and then she sits down and says, by the way, I'm marrying somebody else, and I'm moving on, and you're stuck with both the steak dinner you cooked and the dog.
Well, I was like, Gresh, he told us, this isn't speaking out of school, he told us his first marriage ended. One of the reasons why was because he didn't want kids, so what did he do? He married a woman with two kids. So there you go. It'd be just like that.
Funny how that
I
works.
I go, that's kind of odd, isn't it? He's like, oh, yeah, I know.
And now he's got two kids.
Yeah, that's right.
That's funny.
So Kendrick Bourne, 4 years with San Francisco, high water mark all last year, 49 catches, 667 yards. Actually, only two touchdowns. He had five the year before that.
Okay.
I don't know. Like,
he's not a tutty machine, but he
But also,
he can find it.
If they go two tight ends a lot, which we all assume that they're
the 12 going to. Isn't the whole point?
The whole thing.
12 personnel.
And then if you have Aguilar and Myers, how much does Bourne even play? Like, I know you don't just exclusively run that, but my point is, like, I don't even know how many opportunities he's really going to have.
Unless, I mean, aren't you going to basically, given the money that you spent on Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, given what Belichick loves about Jonnu Smith's athleticism and the dependability of Hunter Henry, and I know which one between the two I love and who I would get after first.
I'd get after Jonnu Smith. Big time.
In a heartbeat.
I keep hyping this up. These guys keep trying to poo-poo it. I think he's going to be a monster this year.
Are you telling me the ratio room is not in on Jonnu Smith?
Wait. You just said we're poo-pooing it?
Poo-pooing it.
I have never poo-pooed
What have we said
anything?
About it?
Yes, you did.
What?
I said he's going to be like a top five or six fantasy tight end, and you guys were like, ugh.
I don't think top five or six. I think he has an opportunity.
I think
for
I even said
season.
As low as seventh, and they still were giving me these eye rolls back there.
What? And that's where he was ranked by Espen.
Yeah. He's trying to
the entirely sick person.
I'm not trying to trigger anybody.
What do you mean? He's like the 11th or like 15th ranked tight end in just about every fantasy league.
And I have him significantly higher than that, and you guys try to poo-poo it because you're just following the masses. Just a bunch of sheep. You're looking at all these little magazines. And you say,
I am
Jonnu
not a sheep
15.
At all.
Gresh reads the magazines.
Well, you guys apparently agree with
the
magazines.
Well, thanks for tuning in Saturday morning, Rich, and wait till we get to
every
1 o'clock where
I
we
do.
Appropriate Shyamalan's content, and we're
going
to talk
with you
highly about Jonnu Smith.
I normally like to sleep in, but now I know that these guys have a big show, so I set my alarm for 7:55. That allows me time to get up, get a little coffee going, sit next to the radio, turn those guys on.
Right.
And listen to every minute.
Have your daughter turn it on for you. Say, honey, sorry, I know you'd rather
exactly.
go to the playground.
I got to listen to these guys slap
we
and tickle each other for an
Jonnu
hour.
Smith.
You weren't high enough on Smith.
I don't believe it.
You weren't high enough.
We're higher on him than we are on Hunter Henry.
See?
Same.
Well, poo-poo Hunter Henry.
Yeah, that's
we're,
fine.
We're hive mind.
Poo-poo Hunter Henry.
We're hive mind.
Games played for Hunter Henry over under 12 and a half.
Under. For some reason, he's not entirely
like he's
fragile, but he's
a little bit.
He takes big hits. He gets banged. He gets banged. He takes.
Is that a nice way of saying he gets hurt a lot? Guy takes hits.
Do you remember the hit that Kyle Duggar laid on him in Los Angeles last year at Empty SoFi?
Ooh,
of course. Ooh, I do. He remembers it as well.
It's my phone wallpaper. How can I forget?
It's my screensaver. Well, I mean, I would think now, Jonnu Smith, obviously, he doesn't want. He comes into minicamp and first day or second day, he's got a little hammy action going on.
Right.
But to me, between the two of them, that's the guy. I know we're not necessarily playing which free agent signing do you think is going to have the most impact. I think Jonnu Smith might very well because his athleticism is off. He can do more. He might even be able to if Cam is still having a hard time putting the ball exactly where they want him to.
Hey, there's a chance of that
Well, there's definitely a chance of that happening, but I think Jonnu Smith can get after it.
Yeah.
So if you've got those two guys, you're telling me, okay, so Asiasi, are you going to have him? Are you going to have him? Which one?
I'm not going to have him do anything.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Not even going to have him trailing Hunter Henry like, look, this guy's going
to
get hurt.
He could carry their equipment to the field if he wants to on practice day.
Wow.
What is he going to do this year? I'm not cutting him. Like, you just drafted him way too high.
Did you miss week 17 against the Jets?
No, I saw it. It was a big grab. It was a huge grab. Yeah. Oh, you had two grabs?
Two.
Those were his two catches. I was so excited after the first one. I think I threw a little party for myself. I missed the second one.
Second one was a touchdown.
Nice player. Oh, yeah, that's right. Dalton Keene, you think he factors in on
this?
Hey. Uh-huh.
He's there.
Like, come on.
And I want everything about those kids to work out. I would especially love.
I
love guys like Dalton Keene.
What about him? What do you love about him?
I don't know, just big strong guy, mustache.
The whole league's big strong guy.
The way Shime just threw his hands up at big strong guy mustache football player. Just like, what are we doing, Fitzy?
I don't know.
It's a good breakdown.
I want
an H back type.
Shime, you'll probably remember. I said time and again on this station, on this program when I subbed in last year, how much I would like a Kyle Juszczyk type. I would absolutely love if the Patriots could find some sort of like utility.
Like a
halfback,
Frank Wycheck.
Oh, just a Juszczyk, all the checks.
An Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, the football player.
Correct.
Aaron Hernandez, 2011.
Yeah.
That guy was, and that, you know what? And Jonnu Smith may give you a little bit of that as well.
Does
Jonnu Smith have somewhere like 40 NFL carries, something like it's not like just five or six, but
Bills nuts about him when they played him that time and about how he's the best run after the catch. And you're like, wait, Jonnu Smith.
He has six carries.
All right.
It's pretty good.
I said not four or five.
Jonnu Smith nugget, though, that John actually gave us on Saturday, if you were listening. He's never had a drop in the red zone.
Oh, my God. Love this
never
guy.
Had a drop in the red zone.
Oh, my God. That's top seven fantasy tight end written all over
it. Gilmore, give him all the money.
Jonnu Smith.
All the Jonnu Smith.
Give him the bag.
You know, give him the bag.
Yeah. They already paid him. They don't need to
give him Gilmore's extension.
I'm joking. But, or am I? I can't wait to watch that guy play. I cannot wait to watch that guy play. I think Belichick signed Hunter Henry because he's always
do
like,
him a favor.
It's just he's loved the kid. He's like, at that point, like, he hugged him in Los Angeles and told him, like, I've had my eye on you. I got to.
Or did he not like the receiver market as much and was like, we might as well double up on tight end. Although he's always one of the two tight ends.
He loves
it.
It
hasn't always worked, but when it does.
But when it does, it's pretty sexy. Yeah. So basically, we've just boiled it down to Kendrick Bourne. How is he going to get on the field?
Right.
Because I think Myers is.
I guess Henry would have to get hurt or.
Aguilar
is just dropping everything.
Or it's like, if Aguilar is going to be used, and I don't know if he's going to be used as the downfield threat that he was last year as much, because he wasn't as much the downfield threat in Philadelphia.
No.
I think we all thought Ruggs was immediately going to come in and become Tyreek Hill 2.0 with the Raiders last year. He was once or twice, but Aguilar was the better deep threat.
Right.
What does Aguilar do this year aside from get yelled at?
I think he's also going to be in a rude awakening when he's like, Derek Carr used to actually kind of hit me in stride. This is different. So I think he's going to have an adjustment to make.
This is definitely different.
this is a little bit different.
You know what Jakobi Meyers is.
Right.
We know what we thought Kendrick Bourne was signed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what do they do? What do they do with Aguilar?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you still ask Cam to throw it deep sometimes, right?
Like
last year was. I feel like the short stuff's even worse than the deep stuff for Cam. So I'd send Aguilar deep.
The James White stuff, like the screens and the dump offs, that just doesn't work with that throwing motion.
No.
And I know he's reinvented himself for the umpteenth time, but that was always an issue.
You can join the program 617-779-7937. We have a grab bag of Olympic stories, including they're now saying there's a chance of last minute cancellation of the Olympics. I had a better story I thought we'd get to, though, where there is a rumor of there being anti-sex beds in Olympic Village?
Mm-hmm.
That could be fake news. We'll get to the bottom of that. But first, here's Shine with Trending.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
Back here on Gresh and Keefe. Gresh off this week. Nick Fitzy Stevens in today, tomorrow, and Thursday. The Olympics start on Friday. I actually like the Olympics. I
love them.
I'm actually a big fan. I like countries competing in sports against other countries. I'm a fan of that, very much so.
Do you feel like the Olympics have lost any of that must-watchability or luster that they used to have because of the accessibility of so many different streaming options and other ways to entertain or engage?
A little bit. I mean, I think also an issue becomes where they are and what's live, what's taped, what's not. Sometimes that affects. But also, like, you'll go into it and you won't realize how, like, before Michael Phelps won all those things, or before, like, Simone Biles last time, like, as a casual fan, you're like, oh, I'll see what the storylines are. And then it ends up being somebody like that who ends up being must watch.
Who's the dude, by the way, who in 2008 swam the final, I think it's Jeremy something, he swam the final relay in the men's mixed medley to get Phelps, like, that extra gold he needed to, like...
Oh, it was incredible.
I don't remember who that was.
Go
back to YouTube.
Not Ryan Lochte, was it?
No, it wasn't the grill. It wasn't Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, but those guys were, like, that was awesome to watch.
I fell down as some sort of Twitter hole recently of, like, name the greatest play in sports this century or something. And I thought it was... I would have given it to...
Butt
obviously
fumble?
Everything 28-3 or butt fumble, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote the end of Boise State, Oklahoma.
Oh, with Statue of Liberty.
The hook and ladder and then the Statue of Liberty
to
and
Ian
the option.
Johnson.
My God.
Jared Zabinski to
Jared
Ian
Zabriskie.
Johnson.
That's right.
Zabriskie.
Go watch the last 5 minutes of that game. Mind numbing.
That was right.
That relay, so I started.
So you're like, yeah, what other options were?
Oh, my God. The Olympics are still that great.
I like it.
That final relay, that dude had to overcome the best swimmer in the world by, like, a body length.
The chief of the 2020 Tokyo committee, because, of course, these were supposed to be held last year and they weren't. On today, he did not rule out a last-minute cancellation as more athletes tested positive for COVID and major sponsors ditched plans to attend the opening ceremony on Friday. It's all going to be about the money. There's so much money invested in this already. But if they start losing sponsors, then that would be the only way to do it. But there are a bunch of athletes that are already there. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine, not one of them.
Nope.
What is that? Team USA basketball is just a mess on top of itself.
What an embarrassment thus far. And they may still stumble into a gold medal, but the fact that you have people turning them down, you got guys like Trae Young who you need desperately putting out the Isaiah Thomas Twitter.
That so much.
That was another shimmy at the 3-point line from him.
Yes,
just having a year. And on top of it, you don't have Booker, you don't have Middleton yet. Who knows when you'll get those guys? Although if it stays to form, you may get them in a couple of days. And now they may cancel the damn Olympics, even if there are guys. They've hemorrhaged money from getting them ready for last year.
Right.
Now no spectators, so they've hemorhaged hundreds of millions more. Tokyo, the
imagine
financial
if these were supposed to be in Boston.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that.
Brutal.
But one of the stories every, I guess, 2 years, right, winter and then summer, then winter and then summer, every 2 years is, oh, the Olympic Village, there's so many condoms, and they just give out like a million condoms, and all these athletes are there, and it's chaos.
Yeah.
Sexual
Well,
chaos.
It's a bunch of beautiful, fit people
in
their
prime.
Oh,
you couldn't be in better shape. You couldn't be in better shape, some of these athletes.
Very sexy time.
Finally tuned athletes. I don't blame them at all. But there was a nasty rumor going out there that in Tokyo, there were anti-sex beds. Like cardboard beds that were made not for sex.
Not for sexual reasons.
Correct.
But wait a second. Who among us hasn't, like, gone to college or, like, slept over someone's house in Alston or whatever and, like... The floor is the same. The floor is kind of like a cardboard bed.
No one has beds in Alston.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
Okay, you got nine dudes living in three rooms. Right. That's how it works.
When has having to be on a hard, flush surface prevented people from doing the Lambada?
All you need is the backseat of a Volkswagen.
All right, sure. I mean, some of them now are very large.
There was a, thankfully, though, to sort of get to the bottom of this, an Irish gymnast went on, I believe, TikTok or Instagram. And he was in his room, because he's already there, and he was sort of on one of the beds, and he had this to say.
In today's episode of Fake News at the Olympic Games, The beds are meant to be anti-sex. They're made out of cardboard, yes, but apparently they're meant to break at any sudden movements.
It's him jumping on it.
It's fake. Fake news.
I mean, otherwise we're just talking about a lot of fake news here.
Apparently the term fake news just made its way to Ireland.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news.
So the beds are pretty sturdy is what it sounds like. Now, one of the venues, or I'm sorry, one of the events could be in jeopardy. So even if they go on with the Olympics, there's a chance that they might not be able to do canoeing.
Oh, that's my favorite sport.
I know
the
you like to watch canoeing.
And I love it.
One of the reasons is there are way too many oysters in the water.
Okay.
There's too many.
Are you trying to trick us?
Nope.
This is real... Are we playing Guess the Lie?
Outrageous.
The Sea Forest Waterway in Tokyo Bay, which will host the canoeing and rowing events,
okay,
was ready ahead of schedule. But one thing no one counted on, that was oysters. Massive numbers of them had attached themselves to floats intended to stop waves bouncing back across the water and onto the athletes. The oysters were discovered when puzzled officials began investigating why the floats had started sinking. Solving the problem has been a huge and time-consuming task. So it's messing up all the equipment there, and now they're not sure if they're going to be able to have canoeing and rowing.
Okay, so
oysters,
all right,
which are a natural aphrodisiac,
yes,
so you can
are.
Move those right into the old Olympic Village.
Yeah, but that's the last thing you want to do, though, because on the cardboard beds, fake news.
It
can't be.
Right.
So there's two things here. One, there's no spectators in the first place, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And two, just start eating.
Mm-hmm. They should.
Too many oysters.
Yeah.
What are they going to do about all the oysters?
Well, they're going to destroy them, apparently.
No, you can't do
that. They're going to destroy them. Yes,
they are. Those bivalves are natural filters. They process your ocean water.
Not only that, they said there's so many oysters, it's probably worth tens of thousands of dollars, but they just got to go on with the show, and they're like, we got to keep this thing going.
You can't do that.
When you watch canoeing, PETA's going to be fired up.
Get a nice bonfire. You throw them out there. You wait till they pop open. Oh. Throw a little butter and Worcestershire on them.
Nothing better.
There's nothing better than a freshly grilled oyster.
Nothing better
nothing.
Than an oyster.
Followed by sex on a cardboard bed. It's the greatest. I mean, it's what I live for.
The Olympic
that and
tradition.
Patriots touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait for those as well. We'll have more Olympic stuff throughout the week. We're even going to play a game tomorrow about the Olympic events
Which I'm fired up. Not well, you guys just found out what my favorite one was.
Canoeing.
Just canoeing.
Son of a gun.
Canoeing and rowing. Have you ever gotten fired up by a person rowing a boat?
No, not for me.
Nope.
It's not for me. The two-man, the four-man, the eight man, none of it.
The guys on the gondolas in the Venice Canal don't rile you up.
Oh,
well,
no,
then
no.
You have the coxswain that sit up there and they yell stroke.
The what?
Stroke.
And you,
yeah,
got,
the
mad, and you
right.
got mad at me for saying Gudekunst earlier.
No, I didn't. I was just curious if that was allowed. No, it's it was the coxswain. What's it called?
Yeah, the guy who steers the boat right from
yeah.
the back.
And he's a little guy. He's a little bit of a guy. Kind of like the jockey.
Stroke. Stroke.
Yeah, that guy.
Stroke.
Without
that's an
that guy.
Job.
Yeah, you'd be dipping into the water. Well, that guy's really important. He's like the drummer in a band.
Now, wouldn't you figure rather that in this area,
yeah.
like your news about rowing possibly being canceled yeah. due to excessive
oysters. Too many oysters.
Proliferation, mm-hmm. that this would be such a Boston story. Hey, we love oysters around here.
Love oysters.
Love them.
Yep.
Do you only eat them in R months, by the way?
What does that mean?
Months. They say oysters are always best in months that end in R, like September,
oh, really?
October, November, December. Yeah.
No, I eat them.
Year round?
July?
Nice white wine and some oysters.
Who doesn't love a nice April oyster?
It's fine with me.
I'll be hearing that later in the show, probably. There's nothing better than a freshly grilled oyster.
Nothing.
That was quick.
Yeah.
It's a place I go to in Dennisport, by the way. No, excuse me, Harwichport. Dollar freshly shucked Wellesley oysters. Wellfleet oysters.
Oh, my God.
Can you figure it out?
Just, all right,
you sound like me in a trending.
I apologize.
Well, good news is this. Fitzy has an analogy that I've not heard yet, but it involves the New England Patriots, mm-hmm. Tom Brady, and Marvel Phase 4. I am all ears. We're going to do that coming up next.
Who doesn't love a nice April oyster?
As the world reopens again, make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine. And if you missed a show, download the podcast at weei.com.
All right, approaching high noon here on Gresh and Keefe. Gresh off all week long. Nick Fitzy Stevens is here. Of course, listen to the show WEEI.com, also the Odyssey app. And Fitz is going to find a way to combine a few of my favorite topics. So the New England Patriots, of course, still Tom Brady, and Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is in full swing. They've had three shows, WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Loki. The recent Dork podcast is up and available on that right now. And also Black Widow, the film, is a part of that as well.
Which feels like it belongs more in Phase 3.
100%. It took place, most of it, in 2016 anyway, but yes. So how are you going to tie all these together?
Okay, those three shows in particular, WandaVision, loved, grew to love, not so much on the finale. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that was a take it or leave it type of show.
I left it.
Yeah, you did?
Wasn't my favorite. Did no, of course I watched it, okay. But like I just, it wasn't my favorite.
And Loki, I liked, then I was almost out on, and then I loved it by the end.
Great finish.
But it was a little confusing to follow.
And yeah, with time travel and multi-dimensions, that'll happen.
It'll happen.
Uh-huh.
And so this is where, and it was after I finished the final episode of Loki, tail end of last week, that I realized that the Patriots and the Marvel Cinematic Universe have a lot more in common than you would realize. Or at least the Tom Brady era of the Patriots.
Okay.
And now the new era of the Patriots versus Marvel phases one through three. We'll just say Marvel pre-phase four. I'm gonna call Marvel the first
Infinity
three phases.
Saga.
Yes, we'll say the Infinity Saga,
yeah.
And then now Phase 4 on.
Got it.
The New England Patriots with Tom Brady were the Infinity Saga.
Okay.
The Patriots now, without Tom Brady, they're in basically Phase 4, especially following the uncharacteristically aggressive offseason.
You have
all of these new players on defense and offense. They just spent $250 million. By all accounts, the New England Patriots look like they're going to be a much better team. In fact, if they get good to very good quarterback play, some of us around here even believe they might be a playoff team. Hey, Rich, playoffs, that's what we've been used to the last 20 years, right?
We have.
We have been.
Yes.
Marvel, the Infinity Saga, 20 years of absolute dominance.
Dominance.
The movies, there's not a single bad one. Through the Captain America, basically from...
There's a couple, like I said. But I get your point, especially
there's a 20. Yeah. There's a 2015 AFC championship in the mix.
There is.
There's the occasional 2006, losing to the Jets in the rain with Doug Gabriel fumbling on the sidelines, things like that.
He wasn't great.
They'll happen. There'll be some ups and downs, by and large.
For the most part.
So what I'm saying is that the first three phases, the Infinity Saga of Marvel, is the Tom Brady era with Bill Belichick on the New England Patriots. It was dominant. It was great. I went for absolutely all of it. It was the top of entertainment, the comics, the movies, all the spinoffs, everything. It was great. And then it ended. Just like when Iron Man snapped his fingers and said, spoiler alert, and I am Iron Man, that ended too.
Mm-hmm.
Now they take a break. Post-COVID, they're coming out. Like I said, Black Widow really belongs more to Phase 3 in the Infinity Saga.
Sure, but these, the shows.
These new Patriots, I should love them. I don't know how.
You don't.
Just like.
You're not sure? Look at this.
Just like. With these new shows, like WandaVision was fun, but is super creative.
I think Marvel is going to have a bright future. So to take it one step further, I agree with you. I think a lot of people thought it was done. Endgame was literally just that, and that was going to be it. And they've had a few other movies, but they're like, you can't top that. But they have such a slate of movies and shows planned, and I think what Loki did is it really pushed it forward, would sort of be like the Patriots' big offseason.
Correct.
Which would sort of be like, all right, they're not done.
Correct.
And so even if Robert Downey and Chris Evans and Josh Brolin aren't going to be in all these things,
Tom Brady. That's Edelman. That's Brady. That's Gronk.
Belichick then? I guess Kevin Feige.
He's Kevin Feige.
Who oversees all these things.
See? And Kevin Feige, who oversaw the Infinity Saga.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's ever,
it's going to be good.
It's not going to be ever.
Marvel's going
to
be great.
It's never going to be. These Patriots, that's the thing. I'm finding now as I start to get ready to Jonnu Smith to have a breakout season, for Hunter Henry to go 55 catches and 8 touchdowns. Maybe Kendrick Bourne is spectacular. Matt Judon, great. Oh, I love Kyle Duggar. I think the guy's going to be a machine. Josh Uche could be a breakout star. Am I Patriots superfan? I ask you, Marvel superfan.
Yes.
Am I ever going to love the Patriots as much as I used to love the Patriots? Like, am I going to love Marvel as much as I used to love it? Because I don't think it's ever going to be better than Chris Evans and Josh Brolin and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. They kind of touched the sun.
I think
it'll be great.
It's never going
to
be better.
So, not to avoid answering your question, but I feel like if that was an A+, and rooting for the Patriots was sort of an A+, I do think it can get to a B+, A-. It may never be better.
I don't know, man. Falcon and Winter Soldier was not great. And I like, as much as I loved Loki, I felt like...
So Falcon and Winter Soldier to me is the outlier so far. I've liked everything else very much.
I felt exhausted by some of the episodes. Like
of Loki?
Why is Richard Grant, who are you? Why do you look like one of the wild things? What? But
it's
from where?
Variants.
I don't want to have to follow...
Timeline! And now the timeline is... I don't want to... Okay. Spoiler here. It's open. Multiverse is open. Things are happening.
Multiple universes.
Things are happening. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I have more confidence in Phase 4 of Marvel than I did in New England Patriots.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I have more confidence in the Patriots, but I don't think even if these Patriots go to the playoffs...
There's more characters I like in Marvel right now than I do on the Patriots.
Well, okay.
They don't have a quarterback.
Like who? Like Loki? I don't even who the bad guys are now.
Kang the Conqueror is going to be a bad guy. You still have Spider-Man.
Okay. In this next one, there's going to be 17 Spider-Mans.
You still have Thor. You have all the Spider-Mans.
But Thor's fat and in space.
He's not fat anymore. You should see him now. The arms on Thor now, because he's also doing a Hulk Hogan movie coming out. Chris Hemsworth. Biggest I've ever seen him.
Thor got jacked in space.
Yeah. I think they're going to eventually tie like Deadpool in. They're going to bring in, they're going to introduce the Fantastic Four. The Guardians of the Galaxy are still a thing. Marvel's got a much brighter future than the Patriots. Much brighter.
And you think you're going to be able to love Marvel the same way?
I don't know.
Going to be able to love the Patriots? If these Patriots go to the playoffs, if these Patriots make it to an AFC championship, is it going to ever feel the same?
What? Yeah.
You think so? You're telling me it's going to be as rewarding as Civil War or the first Avengers, or it's going to be as satisfying as the end of...
What if the Patriots played in the Super Bowl this year against Brady?
That's not going to happen. Ragnarok can't happen.
Why not?
The end of days.
You wouldn't feel pretty special about that game?
You want to talk about multiverse.
Yeah, that would split something. Something would happen there.
I find that now, like, I keep going back to Marvel because it's Marvel. They sucked me in.
Yeah.
And just like with the Patriots, I'm a lifetime fan, of course, just like I've been reading comic books since I was a kid.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, take it one step further, was the 2020 season. But everything else, but they're pushing it forward here. Loki could be this season. And then some of the movies could be the seasons after that. You still have Belichick. It's still the Patriots. So I think you could like it again. But, you know, but now that you say it, and not that there was as much put on like the drought. So it's apples to oranges, admittedly. But
of course.
Red Sox 04 will just never be touched.
No.
It won't be. 07, that was cool. That was fun. 13, 18, great, mm-hmm. great. It's just you're never going to hit 04. Whereas with the Patriots, it wasn't like a single moment. Maybe the Rams Super Bowl, I guess, was the moment.
Yeah,
but it was the whole
Super Bowl 51 gave you as well.
I know.
Like 49.
I know.
About it. The Butler interception touches... winning the first Super Bowl.
So that's the thing, I think it might also depend on how the game plays out, because you have the greatest comeback, you have the greatest single play, you have a field goal at the horn, like you have all these different things. So maybe there's something we haven't even thought about. Maybe there's another butt fumble, for all we know.
But like,
it happened.
You can't top, is anything ever going to top Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man? Chris Evans, like it's just not going to, those guys were so perfect. Everything about that worked so well. I mean, I'm just concerned that I'll have a connection, but it'll never be the same.
You might be right, but that's life. Well, Susan, some things in life are tough. 617-779-7937. A bunch of stuff coming up here in hour number three, including Kiefer Madness at 12:30. Actually, a couple of different stories to choose from there, which are just outrageous. But we'll get back to the Stephon Gilmore latest. There's breaking news on Aaron Rodgers and what's going on with his contract and everything in Green Bay. Still haven't gotten to the NHL expansion draft minute. I know John's probably chomping at the bit for a little bit.
We haven't?
Crack and talk.
I didn't go to the bathroom because I thought I was going to talk that segment.
Sorry.
So now I'm sitting here pucker butt.
Pucker butt. I gotta work with this every day.
I know you well enough just because I haven't been in here in a while.
Thinking
about, like, I can't wait till Rich gives me a chance to talk because I'm gonna drop the pucker butt line and it's gonna kill.
No, I was not thinking. If you can believe it or not,
he never thinks.
Yeah.
All right.
Which variant is
that?
Pucker
was organic.
Butt?
Organic. That's it.
Did you hear that 3 seconds of dead silence?
You can go to break.
That was better.
Our off-air alarm went off. I was like, are their mics broken?
Program directors at the studio. Nope.
We don't have one.
Nope.
So easy.
All right. We'll be back.
That's good.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.